You are now listening to Mix Mag on Rotation, the world's dance music destination.
Do you remember the first dance music track you ever heard?
The first track I ever heard, yes, I do. I remember it vividly, actually. It was Monday by New Order. My dad and me were driving up to go camping in Vermont, and he put on the album, and Blue Monday was just like one that just really stuck out to me. And I didn't really realize it was like electronic or anything, and it's kind of, it's a band that made it, but it was like that, it's that hardcore old school track, you know. What was yours?
Well, I still remember mine. I probably actually honestly heard ones before this one. Like, I probably definitely heard disco tracks when I was younger, but just don't really recall them as well.
Yeah.
Funny enough, the first electronic track that I remember listening to and being like, whoa, what is this? Was a dubstep track.
What track? Do you remember which one?
I think it was the Zed's Dead remix, which is so funny.
Yeah.
Like, so silly. But you have to understand, I also didn't grow up in like a super musical family that would show me like house music. And I also, of course, like missed the golden age of like growing up in the 90s and with house music, and even before that with disco. So this I just found on my own. I remember a friend sent it to me and was like, listen to this track, it's so cool. And I listened to it on my computer speakers because that's all I had. I was just like a little nerd with a computer. And I was like, whoa, this sounds really cool, but I almost want to listen to this on headphones to like really experience it. And that was clearly the first time I was like, whoa, I need to like actually listen to this.
Yeah, fully. I feel like a lot of new like electronic fans, they might have found like maybe the more mainstream stuff, the dubstep stuff in like 2008, 2009. But then once you dig a little deeper, you find out the history of dance music. And it's such a rich history. You know, I like to share a lot about the history of house music and go back even to disco. And right now, the cover of Mix Mag is the 40th anniversary of I Feel Love from Donna Summer and Georgia Moroder.
Fabulous.
And it's a really special moment. And there's a lot of really great content in the mag right now. I'm talking about Patrick Cowley's remix that has been played a lot recently and forever. That track is just totally timeless. Maybe even people think it's like the first trance track, you know, because it really transcends time.
Transcends
time. Nice one, Val. Good catch.
Thanks. I know. Well, if you're interested, definitely go check it out on mixmag.net. All the articles are up there, and you can see Donna Summers and Giorgio Moroder looking totally fabulous.
Yeah, some cool photos for sure.
Back in the day. Yeah, and it's really cool that, of course, Giorgio is still doing his thing.
We're going to have a Mixmag lab with Giorgio, which is going to be pretty interesting.
You'll hear more about that.
But for now, this is On Rotation. I'm Harrison here in Brooklyn.
And I'm Valerie here in Los Angeles.
And this week's show, we have a lot of special things we're talking about. We're going to go deep into a new game.
A new game!
Yeah, new game. We're ditching the DJ Pictionary, whatever that was called.
You know, we had good three rounds of me winning.
Ah, Val, you're going to rub that in every episode of this podcast?
Yes, I will.
What else we have in this episode before we get into this banter right now?
Yeah, well, we have the game, which you'll find out what it is very shortly. We're going to cover some of the biggest headlines across dance music this week that happened, some interesting controversial stuff. And then, of course, we'll dive into an interview with a treasured classic of our own. We snagged Jesse Rose for an interview while he's out on his worldwide retirement tour. Here's a little clip of what's to come.
I started with a dream, and my dream was to play the best clubs in the world, and the best clubs in the world would be clubs where I could play my favorite records to people that would love my favorite records.
Then after that, we are going to dive into the premiere section. You get to hear a couple clips of the best tunes that landed in Harrison and I's inboxes this week. And finally, we'll wrap up with the weekend report.
Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Mixmag and use the hashtag OnRotation to tell us what's going on in your neck of the woods. And maybe in the weekend report, we can shout out some of your favorite club nights. But make sure you reach out.
It's game time.
Game time. Game time. Game time. Game time.
Game time. Game time. Game time. Game time. Game time. Oh, I thought we were going to do a little
Val, come on. To get to the rules.
All right, guys.
Let them know what's
going
on.
Well, we know you had a really good time listening to us play DJ Pictionary.
It was fun.
Because it was awesome.
Had a lot of fun.
But we're moving on. You know, there's a whole other world out there
for
us to play.
We're progressive, Mixmag.
So this game is called Guestival.
Guestival.
Because that's really clever. We're, of course, going to apply the same rules of DJ Pictionary, kind of, to festivals around the world. But the way this is going to work this time, it's a little confusing, kind of. But so one host is going to tell the other the name of a stage. I'm going to give Harrison a stage name, and hopefully, if he's done his research and he knows his festivals well, he'll be able to guess exactly which festival this stage is at. Of course, though, because, you know, we love to play on this West Coast, East Coast thing.
Yeah, that's what's going to be.
I'm going to come with a bunch of West Coast festivals, and Harrison will come with the East Coast festivals. So
not
it's going to be kind of tough. We're going to see how this goes. I'm going to start with, this one's a medium one, so okay. I'll start with this one. Okay. Right. So the stage name is The Palms. And also, it should be said that, obviously, the stage names are usually themed to the festival. So it gives you a little hint of, like, well, where this could
that's
be.
That's not Coachella, is it?
It's not Coachella. I told you I wasn't going to do Coachella because it seemed too obvious.
Crossed Festival?
Oh, my God, you got it.
Ha! Woo!
That's fast.
Take wow. that, Val.
That was
West
kind of anticlimactic.
Festival. You really thought you were going to stump me on that one.
I did. Well, yeah. I thought about, I could have gone with City Steps, which would have been harder.
I wouldn't have got that. I wouldn't have got that at all.
But it's really cool because that stage is on the City Hall steps of San Diego, which is why it's called
okay,
City Steps.
Okay, that's pretty cool. All right, so this one I think you'll probably get, but
okay.
Sherwood Court.
Mystery Land.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Sherwood Court. Wait, that's not... Is that in New York or near New York?
No.
It's not.
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
Is that Electric Forest?
There you go. You got it.
Yay! That's not really the East Coast, but, you know, it's fine.
It's the same time zone.
Okay. The next one, I think, should be kind of easy. You should get this one.
Mm-hmm.
Wasteland. I went with a harder one for this festival because the other ones are pretty easy.
Lightning in a Bottle?
No. No, sir.
FYF?
Nope. It's definitely a fully electronic music festival. So that gives you a hint. Not so much like the FYF kind of crossover stuff.
Not EDC.
It is EDC! Which you've never been to, right?
No, I've never been to.
Do you know what the main stage of EDC is called?
No, I thought we were going with main stages.
No, I can't go because Kinetic Field. That's
oh, I would have got that immediately.
Yeah, see, that was too obvious. And then there's also Cosmic Meadow, Circuit Grounds, but they all sound a little too EDC, you know?
Yeah.
So, had to go with the harder one.
Wasteland.
But you still got it. Yay!
All right, here's my next one. This is my easiest one. You got the, okay. you got the last one pretty fast, but this one's pretty well known all throughout.
All right.
What stage?
Okay.
What stage?
What stage?
Yeah, what stage?
That's what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
It's legendary. You should know this one. Big, major festival.
Is it Gov Ball?
No, no, no. A little more south.
Oh.
A little more south.
What stage? Is it Bonnaroo?
Yeah, there you go.
Woo! Is that the main stage of Bonnaroo?
Yeah, the main stage of Bonnaroo. They have what stage, which stage, this tent, that tent, the other tent.
Wait, that's really funny, because can you imagine trying to tell your friend? You're like,
that's exactly,
what stage are you at? Yeah, what stage? You're like, no, what?
You're bugging.
Oh, damn it.
And it's so big. Bonnaroo is like the biggest festival I've ever been to. It's like
oh my God.
A little town of like 200,000 people in the middle of Tennessee. It's ridiculous.
We got to get you out here for Coachella.
Yeah.
See if it's bigger.
Do you have a third one?
I do have a third one. I think this one's going to be, well, if you know it, you'll know it. But okay. if you don't, then you won't. The stage is called Bigfoot.
Yeah, I'm not going to get it.
Which is a great stage name, by the way.
It's a Cali festival?
It is not.
Not a Cali festival.
Not a California festival.
Is it Austin City Limits?
No. It's still on the West Coast. It's just not in California.
Oregon Eclipse, isn't that one?
Nope.
No?
Think about the name. Kind of has to do with that.
Bigfoot.
It's not in Oregon either, so.
I'm looking at our producer right now. Hints? Producer Kieran, Sasquatch.
Ah, oh, you got it. Yay! Woo-hoo! Just in the nick of time.
Yeah.
Did you actually get it, or did the producer help you?
No, he got it. He was like, wait, is that actually the name of the festival?
Yeah, it is. Sasquatch, with an exclamation point. It goes, Sasquatch.
Wow, I've gotten each one.
I know.
Now, this is the last one. This is the easiest one. Perry Stage.
What is it? Perry Stage?
Perry Stage, yeah.
Is that Gov Ball?
No.
Oh. Okay, Perry Stage. Is it a New York festival?
No. Epic festival. Mm. Massive.
So it's not in the New York area?
No, not really. A little more west.
This is this is actually more of a test of U.S. geography, isn't it?
Yeah, right? You gotta know where all this stuff is.
Is it Movement?
No, no.
Oh, my God.
Think about who owns the festival. Maybe his name is Perry.
Oh, God. This is...
Perry Farrell.
Oh, it's Lola, right?
Lollapalooza. Lola. There you go. See, I gave you that one, so I can't say you got it.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, fine. You
so
win.
That means I Woo. Win the first
oh my God,
round of Guestival.
What?
Yes.
How do we add fanfare music?
Oh yeah, da-da. Kieran, put some cool music at this one. Round one, Harrison, score.
You are now locked in with Mixed Mag Zone, Valerie and Harrison.
After game time, we like to go into actually the important stuff. A lot of stuff happened this week in the world of dance music.
Indeed it did.
Especially with the Geigling label boss, Constantine, came out with some pretty surprising ideas. I guess not really so surprising though, right, Val? I feel like there's a lot of people that might probably share his views that aren't afraid to, that are maybe afraid to say their thing.
Yeah, it was just more of disappointing.
You want to give us the rundown?
Yeah, the rundown of what happened. I guess if you've been hiding under a rock for the past week, you haven't heard about this. Or if you're, you know, detached from dance music news.
Yeah, but, if you're just not into dance music.
A German DJ and head of the Geigling imprint, his name is Constantine. Apparently, I'm sure this happened a while ago because this came out in an article in the German magazine Groove.
Yeah.
Apparently a writer had met him on a train and, you know, they were engaging in casual conversation and eventually the conversation turned to women in music, which of course, you know, mm-hmm. we all know is a big, big topic, controversial.
Hot topic.
Very hot topic in dance music. And though there were no direct quotes in the article, the whole thing basically came out as him sort of openly stating that he said that he found that women DJs were more unfairly and heavily promoted in the industry. And in his opinion, women were actually worse at DJing than men are.
People were like, you're allowed to say, why should we crucify him for his opinions? And you're really allowed to have whatever opinion you want, mm-hmm. but you can't control the backlash of said opinion.
Yeah.
And saying that women are worse at men than one thing, mm-hmm. especially that has nothing to do with sex in terms of like DJing, which yeah. has nothing to do with who
what
you are as,
you
as
are,
identity.
Yeah.
It really has nothing to do with that.
Totally.
He received a lot of backlash from a lot of artists in the industry. The Black Madonna came out and actually she told a story a little bit on Twitter about one time she ran into him backstage. What did he do? He came out and said,
he said that he was a chauvinist to her face, which she also explained that at the time she thought it was just a joke. You know, she gave him a hug and just kind of moved on with her life. But after the whole news broke, she put one and two together and she was like, well, apparently he's very aware of the opinions that he has. And that was also an interesting sort of development to the story, was that because he's not really sort of quote-unquote someone you would expect to have this opinion, he's a well-respected mm-hmm. artist in the underground community. He heads a very successful imprint. I think that when the news first came out, people were a little hesitant to be like, okay, is this true? You know, there's no quotes. We're not
right.
super positive. You want to give him the benefit of the doubt.
When we wrote about it, the Black Madonna and all these other artists and people in the industry, it had been buzzing in the industry all day. And we were like one of the first news outlets to write about it. I think you're right. A lot of people were like, oh no, Geigling, Constantine, because I personally love the label. I've seen him DJ many times. It's always a great set. And so you kind of just don't want to believe that he thinks that.
Which is hard because, you know, talent has nothing to do with bad opinions on occasion.
I mean, look at what happened to Ten Walls.
It wasn't really until, you know, the Black Madonna and a couple other fellow artists came out of the woodwork being like, you know, I can support that this was probably true because of this behavior that he showed.
Yeah.
I remember there was another artist who came out on Twitter and said that she had tried to book one of the Geigling guys for a gig mm-hmm. and Constantine would not allow him to play if he was booked alongside two other female DJs, which, you know, of course is just awful.
That was a very surprising story. That's
And so eventually the word got out. He was dropped from a London festival called Sunfall, who put out a statement. They said, out of respect for the incredible female talent we have with us at Sunfall this year, it's with regret we announce that the Geigling night session will not go ahead.
He made a statement basically outlining that he regret what was printed, not really saying he is sorry for what he said, but he regrets what mm-hmm. was printed, and it's not like he really denied what was said, so that's the icing on the cake, is that he didn't deny any of it, so it was obviously discussed, it was said, but as a journalist, you gotta get those quotes. I think a lot of people in the media world really wanted to stress that, you know, these were not his quotes, but this was just an interpretation of what he said, and it turned out to be an accurate interpretation because he didn't deny any of it, so.
Sorry, Constantine. Bye.
There's not many women that have released on the label, if any.
There's not. No women have released on the label, and I have a guess that no woman will. moving forward. So
yeah, you think he's done?
I'd be surprised if I saw him come back from this anytime soon.
Things in the industry are definitely heating up right now, especially at this past weekend at Glastonbury as well. Jeremy Corbyn, MP of Islington Council, made a really big speech on the main stage, the pyramid stage. He said that it was probably a bigger crowd that showed up for his speech than was at Radiohead. So I thought that was pretty interesting. But his speech was very politically charged, talking about sexism, racism, poverty, and homophobia, and the importance of everyday citizen politics. Here's a quote he said. He said, "Politics is actually about everyday life. It's about all of us, what we dream, what we want, and what we want for everybody else." It was a very big moment at Glastonbury. I feel like a lot of people resonated with what he said. And he said a little quip about Donald Trump, which hits home for us in the States.
Of course.
"Build bridges, not walls." Yes, I love that. Amen. He did that, you know?
Amen. And yeah, on a different stage, Stormzy also took his time at Glastonbury to put out a call, political call. He called on the government to, quote unquote, tell the truth about the Grenfell Tower fire. So if anyone's been keeping up with the news about the tragedy that happened with the enormous fire at Grenfell, there's been a little controversy about, you know, the government not really telling the full truth about how many people have died in the fire. Stormzy took the time to say it, and it was well received, but yeah. Very sad.
A lot of fans of dance music and music in general don't want to believe that music and politics are intertwined, this was a clear example that they are. And
they are.
Yeah, there's no ignoring it.
In the end, artists are still humans too. Yeah. You know, they're allowed to have feelings and opinions just like we are. Yes. So they just have a bigger platform than us.
Yeah, let's use the platform if you can.
That's the news. Lots to digest, but we're going to move straight into the interview with the one and only Jesse Rose.
You are now listening to Mix Mag on Rotation. Hot takes on the latest dance music news, tunes, parties, and more.
I'm sitting here with Jesse Rose, who Hello. Is in a very exciting part of his career, I would say. It's a little bittersweet. There's been some big announcements as of late. You announced late last year that you were actually going to retire from your music career.
Yeah, from the DJing kind of producing side of it, yeah.
Yeah, and which has been going on for quite some time. I believe it's 2 decades, if I'm
been,
not mistaken.
Yeah, I've been playing since I was 14 and I'm nearly 39. So, yeah, that's a long time, I guess.
So, I mean, the big question.
My life.
Your entire life.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so I have to ask. I mean, that's not a decision that's a small decision, it seems at all. So how did you come into it? What inspired that?
I went to, last year, I decided to take like 3 weeks off. And me and my girlfriend went to this tiny island in Greece, and it took like 24 hours to get there, little boats from boat to boat to this island that had like 100 people on it. Mm-hmm. And we took about a month to get ready to go. We switched our phones off. Crazy. Like, I've never had a holiday in my adult life that's longer than a week. And I've never not had my phone
and off the grid.
So it's really, it was a really like, we knew we were going to try and achieve something out of it. Mm-hmm. While I was there, it just kind of realized, without having to think too deeply, that I'd actually kind of done everything that I dreamed of doing and passed that dream. And it's really important to not do things for the sake of doing them. So I love DJing, and this final tour is amazing, but I just realized straight away that it was time to go and try a bunch of other things that I've always wanted to do. And DJing doesn't really give you the chance, or producing, DJing, running a label doesn't give you the chance to kind of try a lot of other stuff. Mm-hmm. It's 100% dedication to that. So
I can imagine that it's a very interesting decision, because like you said, like, you have so many commitments. You're not only a DJ and a producer, but you own a label and run a label and all these things. So actually, I think it'd be helpful to maybe run through the timeline of your career, if possible. Like, what came first, then what came next?
I can definitely remember what came first and what came next. I cannot remember the years that things happened, which is like, it's annoying, because I've been doing a lot of interviews this year, because it's quite weird for someone to retire. And people are like, so when did that album come out? And I have no idea. Like, I know it came out and it was...
I'd be impressed if you knew all the dates. Yeah.
I started DJing at 14. I put on a club night in Bristol with my good friend I've known since the age of 2, Jamie Anderson, who was older than me, and he was already producing and DJing and stuff. And then I moved to London, and I did a mixed compilation called Tech House Living, which was the first sort of time that techno and house had been put together, maybe in that way. It was a similar time of like Terry Francis was also starting this sort of tech house thing. Mm-hmm. And then I met a guy called Switch, and we started producing, and our first stuff came out on Derek Carter's Classic label. I started being kind of a semi-resident of Fabric, playing sort of every week, filling in whatever. And then I started my labels, Front Room, and then Made to Play. And then I put out a record, I think in 2005, called A-Sided. And 1 month after that record came out, my life completely changed. And I started touring all over the world, and it all started going crazy.
How old were you about then? Because you started young.
Yeah, no, I was like 24 or okay. something. So like, remember, I don't remember. But it was about, yeah, I think it was around 24, 25. And so it takes 10 years to become an overnight success. So at that point, it was like, there's a new kid on the scene, like, you know. But at the same time, it was quite weird, because at that time I was like the new kid, and they kept going on about, how is it possible you've done so much, but you're so young. And then suddenly 10 years goes past and you're like the classic dude. And that's quite mad. So yeah, from there, you know, I had Made to Play. I moved to Berlin. I became a resident at Bergheim Panorama Bar and did my night there for about 6-7 years. Mm-hmm. Put out a bunch of music, put out like, I don't know, I guess 150 singles or releases.
It's quite a bit.
Over 100 remixes in that time.
Wow.
And then I moved to LA about 5-6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the last year I've been between LA and Barcelona. And in between that, there's been collaborations with like, I don't know, Hot Chip and Henrik Schwartz and Switch, and just a very sort of wide range of people. I've been very lucky to play at the most underground clubs in the world, you know. Mm-hmm. Robert Johnson with Roman Flugel, or Cocoon with Sven Vaf, and at the same time play with like Annie Mac, or
right,
you know, go to Australia and tour on the same festival as like Diplo and hip hop people and stuff. So yeah, it's been great to have that both. It's a very hard line to have in this industry, but I've absolutely been very lucky to be able to have both of those things.
Definitely. It's an interesting time, I feel like, for you to leave. Obviously, it was a personal choice just based on your own career achievement. But who are some of the leading people that you feel confident are going to like take this into the next chapter?
People like Weiss, who's on my label, who's been doing some amazing stuff. In a way, taking ideas that sort of me and Switch might have played with before, but then taking them to another place and doing it like really, really well. Christian Nilsson. There's a load of people coming through, and it's kind of important that younger people get a chance to come through. It's very difficult. Like, mm-hmm, once you're in that kind of league of touring the world, it's like it's hard to get into and no one leaves. So right, unless someone kind of moves out the way or something happens, it's very difficult. So me kind of stopping gives that someone else a chance to go into that position.
That's which a great mentality to have.
That feels really great. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, I feel like for the last sort of 15 years, the thing that's been amazing for me is to help younger people come through. People like Oliver Dollar, Reva Star, Roundtable Nights, mm-hmm, to Sinden, to, you know, to the first releases or the second, third releases of like Adam Port or Ami. Or so in a way, that's the sort of legacy, I think. Like, mm-hmm, I've been asked, like, what's your legacy? And it's like, that can be the only thing I can think of, because everyone else has to choose if the music is my legacy or the DJing or whatever. But
right,
I feel happy about a legacy for myself, I guess.
I have to ask, you know, what are some of the most favorite memories and moments that you've taken with you throughout your career?
The first time I played Panorama Bar, I was working with Henrik Schwartz in the afternoon, and we made this record called Stop, Look and Listen. And it was like 110 BPM. And I said to him, whatever happens, I'm going to play this record as my first track tonight at Panorama Bar. Mm-hmm. And I went to Panorama, and it had just opened, but it was already like a mecca. And the guy before me was playing 130 BPM, like quite hard techno. And mm-hmm, I was like, damn, this track's like 110 BPM. Like, that's like, a big, like, if you don't know BPMs, that's like a very big, you know, that would be different.
Yeah.
Going down that many BPMs again is hip hop. So it was like really sort of a massive deal. So I just stopped his record, and I started with this, with Stop, Look and Listen, and the whole place just went nuts.
Wow.
And I stayed at that tempo, I remember, for like an hour. I was playing like 5 hours, and that was just magical. I started with a dream, and my dream was to play the best clubs in the world. And the best clubs in the world would be clubs where I could play my favorite records to people that would love my favorite records.
Right.
And then I realized that for the last sort of 5-6 years, I've been revolving around those clubs, and it's been amazing. And when people say, well, how can you how can you retire? And how can you go and change? I think, well, I loved my first girlfriend, but I don't think she needed to be the only girl I ever went out with.
That's a great analogy. Yeah. Even in each club, there's sort of a shift in, you know, how people are receiving your music and the culture within, I'm sure, different cities and different countries and things like that. I'm curious to know, what are some of like the biggest and most interesting shifts that you've seen across your career in the world of underground dance music?
Really, the only difference between when I started and now, from what I can remember, because obviously I spent 20 years in clubs, so that will hurt your memory. I used to get booked because I spent a lot of time making a record that someone else decided to take the risk and spend a lot of money to put out vinyl, which took a lot of time, and it meant a lot. And if I started a record, I had to start my label, it cost tens of thousands of pounds. It was a massive risk. And so then when you then bought the record, a fan in Australia, say, you bought it, you listened to it a lot. I mean, you spent $12, $15 on one track or two tracks. You really listened to it a lot. And so your fans around the world were really dedicated, you know, because they're listening to that record over and over again, and they paid for it. And then I guess if you go to now, I feel like really the scene is based more off of people following other people as to what's cool. So social media can build up a brand can be a DJ.
Right.
So the way that we drink Coca-Cola, which has no actual flavor, it's not a fruit, right? Yeah. We drink a drink that has no actual flavor, that's just a dark, fizzy thing. But the branding of it has got us to the point where you're like in a bar and you're like, oh, I'm not gonna have a vodka, I'll take a Coca-Cola, right?
Right.
In a way, that's kind of what's happened in dance music. It's like, I've never heard that DJ play, but everyone says that he's cool. They say he's cool because the Instagram and the social media and whatever is doing a good job. And that's become more important than actually the music.
Right.
Now, there's still the same good music. There's still great DJs coming through, but that's changed the dynamic of it. It was hard then and it's surely hard now to come through. So, I mean, I'm not saying that that's changed, but it's that would be the main difference, I could say. There was shit music back in the day.
I'm sure.
Like, really bad. Like, really, really. There's always been bad music and that was always the biggest music. So, like, people complain about EDM now, but it used to be, like, trance. It used to be, like, super cheesy house. It, you know, we've always had it, like, the pop kind of side of it.
I've seen that argument presented a few times. You know, now the access barrier is so much lower now because everyone has the internet and now, you know, it costs like barely a dollar or you can find songs for free, but it's harder to be really seen, right? Because there's so many people now.
Well, maybe it's like easier to be seen, but it's harder to be loved.
Yeah.
If I'm listening to something on Spotify, I get it. Like, I got the Last Tribe album and I downloaded it on Spotify and I listened to it like twice and I really liked it. And then it took about another 6 months and I listened to it once more. Now, when I bought the Love Movement, I listened to it 150 times.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I bought the CD. It cost me $18 or $20 or whatever.
So you really played it.
I really played it. You know, it was like, it was an investment. Like, there's no investment to like music now.
Yeah.
So that changes the thing. And there's, every city kind of has a small club or a bigger club where fans go to and they are more dedicated to the music.
Right.
So I don't think it's like impossible to find, but that's definitely a change.
Yeah. I want to talk about All Right Mate.
All Right Mate.
Always less cool when said in an American accent, I think. But
it's way cooler when it's said in Japanese, by the way.
I believe that. I 100% believe that. So, of course, that was your final album. It came out earlier this year.
Yeah.
I want to know, did you go into the album knowing that it was going to be your last?
No. At the very beginning, I didn't. But I only had one track for it. And the track was called It's Not Over, which was from my last album that I made where everything got stolen in Ibiza. And that was the only track that was kept from my last album, which is quite ironic. It's Not Over being the one track that
it's
I didn't
poetic,
lose from
actually.
It. Yeah. But yeah, while I was in Greece, I was working on music and that music was what ended up being this album. But the great feeling behind this album, which was different to what I'd probably done before, was that I just wanted to make dope records. Now, normally when you're making an album, you're thinking about who's listening to it and playing in clubs and genres and whatever.
Right.
For me, I was just like, I'm going to just make 12 tracks that I think are dope and then I'll involve whoever I need to kind of make it as dope as possible.
Right. And then, of course, the album leads to the tour.
Yes.
Now, you're actually in the middle of your tour called Thanks for Dropping By.
I am.
And it sounds pretty wild. You know, just even looking at the flyer, you're kind of overwhelmed by how many amazing venues you're playing, festivals, and people going back to back with you. How did you go about planning it? And, you know, what was the concept, I guess, behind it?
It's been overwhelming for me because basically when I made the announcement to say that I was retiring, like a bunch of people called me up and I spoke to a bunch of people and it started off with saying, oh, we should do it back to back here. And clubs were like, you should. But then it started to be like people wanted to top trump other people. So people would be like, oh, well, you're doing a back to back. Let's do all night back to back, or let's do a festival, or let's DJ, like, you know.
Make it the most special.
Yeah. So, and it was really touching because, you know, me, I'm just me. I'm just like a guy that just wakes up every day and goes by my business. I don't live like a celebrity life. I'm like a working DJ. I live a good life, but, you know, it's like, it's not Avicii. It's been really overwhelming and really touching and super, you know. When I made the announcement, I was going to my girlfriend like, I'm going to make this announcement now because it feels like the right thing to do, but I don't know how many people give a shit. I don't speak to people every day. Do you know what I mean? Like, you have a general idea.
You never know.
And I didn't think it before, but now I realize that it really made like devoting 20 years of my life worth it. I've just had an amazing, we're halfway through and it's already been like pretty spectacular and some of the best gigs I've ever had, like BPM, starting the year with Dubfire and BPM in Mexico was like super special. Playing back to back with Seth Choxler and Pasha was a really special night as well. The final tour in Australia and New Zealand, they all went out of their way. When I played at Womb in Tokyo, they had a sign behind me I didn't realize at the end for the last half an hour of when I'm playing, which said something like, we wish you the best in your next phase of life.
Aww.
Thank you so much for always coming here. And it was like,
oh, that's so sweet.
I looked behind and this like 20-foot sign is there. And it's like, it's like, you know, you don't know the impact that you've had on people. And a lot of people have really come up to me and it's been really touching. So, I couldn't ask for a better last tour.
That's great. Yeah, that sounds really special. Are there any specific shows that are coming up that you're looking forward to?
Well, there's pretty much all of them because there's no, I'm not really doing, most of the shows are with people that I played for the last 10 years or 15 years. The Picnic Electronic in Montreal. I'm going to do All Night Long at Fabric with Eats Everything. I don't know. There's so many.
All of them, yeah.
Awakenings Festival with Henrik Schwartz. It's harder to say which are the ones that I'm not that excited about, which is very little at this point.
Yeah.
So they're all pretty. And I think, you know, it's weird. Some places I don't feel very emotional. I didn't feel so emotional in the bigger cities because I know that I'll be going back there. But the smaller places, you do kind of feel emotional because you're like, I probably will never go back there.
With retirement now on the horizon, what are you going to be doing with all of your time now?
That's the great secret.
That's the question.
Ironically, when I decided to do it, I actually had no idea what the next thing I was going to do was. It just felt like the right thing to do, which is insane. But I love a risk and taking a risk and moving around the world and all that. So it's just another risk. So I reckon by the time I do ADE, I'll have worked it out, hopefully.
So you genuinely have no idea.
It's coming.
It's all coming. Well, I heard that you're apparently thinking about doing a podcast.
I'm going to do a podcast.
Yes. Tell me more about this idea.
I'm going to bring back my tea and cake podcast. So I started a podcast like 3 years ago and interviewed like all my mates at my house at the time. I was renting Jimmy Kimmel's house and he had like a cake fridge. And everyone used to be like, how come you have a cake fridge? So this whole thing started and people came over and we did these podcasts over tea and cake. And it's just
amazing.
It's just a big, you know, it's a great way just to kind of, I'm really fascinated by how people came through and their kind of story. And I think the podcast, Tea and Cake, will be, how can you be creative and how do you make money and how do you have a career? And those three things, you know, it's like,
what's the balance
between it all, you know? And that to me is very interesting because I think it's very difficult to balance them all. And I've been very lucky for my career, but I wonder how other people have felt.
Well, that's good to hear that you won't disappear on us.
I know.
We're going to be hearing from you
chat
on Tea and Cake soon. Well, thank you so much. It was such a treat. And,
no,
you know,
brilliant.
Wishing you all
Thanks
the best
so
in your future.
Cheers.
This is Mix Mag on rotation, direct to your eardrums.
Now on to our premiere section where we give you our top picks that have landed in our inbox the past week. We share these premieres on Spotify, and you can find them all on our On Rotation playlist. For these tracks, it's tough to pick out which one. We get so many, but the first one, there's something about a warm piano melody that just grabs my attention every time. It's that classic house sound. This next one comes from Detroit deep house legend Terrence Parker, who's been grinding hard as of late. He's got a new album coming out titled God Loves Detroit, and we snagged the soulful house gem titled Just Like Music, which is a moving and emotive anthem primed for peak moments on the dance floor. It's out on June 20th via Carl Craig's Planet E label, and I know I'll be playing it out all summer.
Already chaotic summer season, BBC Radio 1 host and British artist Danny Howard is delivering his first EP of the year. The two-track release will also mark Danny's debut on Shadowchild and Crywolf's Food imprint. He explains that the EP itself is a bit of a throwback, inspired by the 90s illegal warehouse rave scene and his older brother, who introduced him to electronic music with old tape packs of sets recorded at these events. Hala is a looping, low-end track that embodies that hypnotic yet grooving sound of the aforementioned rave scene, and it's out on Food on June 30th. Taking a classic UK garage sample and bringing it into the future, Left Wing and Cody's new track titled Sound Boy is one of Mixmag's big tunes this month in the magazine, and it's for good reason. It's got banging bass, jacking rhythm, and whimsical textures to keep you on your toes. There's so much energy bottled up in this tune that it's begging for the dance floor. It's their first outing on Solid Groove Records, out on June 30th, and you can expect it to be in high demand in Ibiza this season. Check it out. We'll be right back. Los Angeles artist Jewel Tone has returned with his first release in 2017, a brand new single called Worth. The producer and multi-instrumentalist excitingly makes his own vocal debut on Worth, blending live and electronic elements together, finding a quirky, catchy meeting ground between house and indie rock, hitting that LCD Sound System kind of zone. It's out on Puzzle Records on June 29th, but the first listen is with us right now.
You're listening to Mix Mag on rotation.
Now on to the weekend report, where we tell you the top club nights going on around the world. Remember that if you say on rotation at a lab in New York, which is on Thursday for Ryan Crossan, if you go in and you say on rotation at the door, you can get in for free, which is great. I mean, everybody gets in for free, but...
But you can get in especially for free.
Yeah.
More free than anyone else.
You can get in without being on the guest list. But... Elsewhere in the world of New York City, it is a stacked weekend because it is July 4th weekend, which...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, July 4th lands on a Tuesday, so there's just, like, way too much going on all week. It's, like, an extra long weekend. Thursday night, Danny Krivit is at Black Flamingo with Fatik from Secondhand Records, one of my favorite record shops here in Brooklyn. They're on all night. And then Friday is Resolute with Ches Damier and Enzo Saragusa, who is the Fuse London label boss. At Output is Mandar and CN is in the Panther Room. Saturday, the return of City Fox. Yes, we've been waiting for this.
Woo-hoo.
I feel like we've been waiting for this for a whole year. City Fox is back at the Brooklyn Mirage, their outdoor venue. They got Tale of Us, Recondite, Stefan Bodzin.
Wow.
Live sets. Starts early in the day and it goes until 4 a.m.
That sounds like a good way to celebrate.
It's a great way to celebrate on Saturday. But if that's not your thing and you want to go deep in the underground, you got to check out Fourth World. They've been doing this every year. One deepa. You go deeper into the underground. Fourth World. It's my boys put this on every year. It's one of my favorite parties of the weekend. They have a lot of really cool local talent. They got Morgan Geist, Yeji, Patricia, Bookworms, Person of Interest. I know you hate when I name all these artists, Val. But
okay, if they're good.
They're great.
Okay.
They're awesome. I'm going to do it again because on Sunday is Height.
Oh, no.
On Governor's Island.
God. There's and so many names.
The lineup is absolutely stacked. We got Richie Haw, Maceo Plex, Marcel Detman, Rodad, Matrix Man, Julia Gavor, Chris Leibing, Speedy J,
wow.
Loco Dice, Myjin Coles, Jack Maxter, and Peggy Goo. And then on Monday... is going to be Roman Flugel and Matias Aguayo at Good Room. You don't want to miss that. And then finally, we are actually at July 4th. House of Yes, the crazy people over there who are absolutely my... They're one of my some of my favorite people. It's all fun all the time. They're throwing a free party with Ellie Escobar elsewhere as well. You can find Apollonia at Black Market.
That was a handful.
I have to say it all. I mean, this, I get so excited.
He's so stoked. Over in LA, it is also...
Is there as much going on?
Well, yeah, there's a lot going on. Holiday weekends, man. Everyone's here.
Yeah.
So Friday, things start off very exciting. It sees... We'll see Prototype taking over Lot 613 with Matrix Man, who I know is actually heading to New York after that, I guess, to play Height on Sunday, huh? First, he plays here in LA on Friday, so that's going to be a huge show. Be really good. Brooklyn sensation Aurora Halal is playing in downtown.
Yes.
With Coton. Also, yeah, a Harrison favorite.
You should check that out. You're going to check that out?
Yeah.
Please do.
It's going to be a good show. Things keep going on Saturday with Do Not Sit on the Furniture. It's always a fun party. They're bringing Beirut's DJ3, Gab Rome, really good names, and more to the Viaduct. Mm-hmm. Also on Saturday, you can see Damn Funk, Woohoo.
Yeah, my boy.
He's going to be taking over the Standard Rooftop with Billy Goods, Eddie Funkster, and they're going to handle the Funkmosphere.
I would just say Funkmosphere. I don't know.
Funkmosphere is probably more correct. The 10 plus 1 yeah. year anniversary party.
Wait, what?
10 what? Plus 1. I assume it's their 11th year anniversary. 11th year. But no, it's going to be 10 plus 1 because it's fun. Also on Saturday, Tycho is playing at the iconic venue, The Greek, with Todd Terjay and the Olsons. So that's going to be a really neat little show.
That's a great lineup. Yeah. The Greek Theater, right? That's like a legendary, mm-hmm. that's an amazing venue.
It's a very well-known venue here in LA. And then on Sunday, you can vibe out to Purple Disco Machine at the Standard Rooftop once again.
Don't we have a Q&A with Purple Disco Machine on the site right now?
We do. You can read it on mixmag.net. He talks a little bit about his new album, Soulmatic, which is coming out soon, sometime this year. Yeah, he also played The Lab a couple months ago. It was a really good set. You can also watch that on Mix My TV. Plugs, plugs, plugs. So things keep going on Monday because, of course, it's a long holiday weekend. You can catch Marcus Wyatt along with Doc Martin, LA legend, and Heidi Lauden at the Townhouse. It's now called the Independence. A play on independence, you know, in deep and dance.
They're getting really creative out there in LA.
They're getting really creative out here. That's on Monday.
Now, Marcus Wyatt, we also have a selects from him where he picks his top tracks.
He is such a good, like, selector, DJ, so soulful and fun. So that's going to be a fun, like, vibey set, I'm sure. And then things on Tuesday, Doc Martin is again playing. He's playing at the Queen's Wharf for a little show on the pier, which sounds really fun.
The dude is a machine.
And then if that's not your vibe, you can go see Will Clark and Bot at the Sky Bar at the Mondrian, which will also be a super fun pool party. So
yeah, Will Clark we actually had on Rotation maybe a month back.
Talks Big about up his Will. Love of food and his beard and his beard. Cuddle slogan. It's a good chat.
He's in it for the cuddles. That's all he's in it for. Now on to the home of Mixmag in London. It's not holiday weekend over there, so.
And they just had Glasto, so I think they're like, everyone's in recovery mode, I think.
Yeah. On Friday, you got to check out a guy called Gerald at Moth Club. He has some of the best live sets I've ever seen. I had so much fun at his set at Good Room with Paranoid London last year. He brings out these, I think they're TR-909s he's got a whole bunch of really cool gear, two little iPad things. He's got a lot of computers and different things
Fancy.
Going on. Yeah, he actually kills it. And then also on Friday is Code 9 at Camden Assembly. So different styles of music. You know, if you're into that more footwork, maybe jungle type stuff, catch Code 9. But if you're into that really cool housey stuff, you find a guy called Gerald at Moth Club. And then on Saturday, Studio 338 is officially back.
Woohoo!
They had their comeback party last weekend,
I think. We mentioned it in the Weekend Report last weekend.
Yeah. Big up to them. They're back after a terrible fire that destroyed the club last year. On Saturday, they have Andres, Damiano von Eckhart, La Roche, Voyeur. I mean, that's an awesome lineup for sure. I would definitely try to check that out on Saturday. But elsewhere, you're going to have to check out Daniel Avery. He's playing a special London acid set, he's calling it, at Phonox. And that's going to be really fun. Or you could also check out artwork. Okay, wait, XOYO. The Black Madonna's residency is officially over.
Oh, no.
We've mentioned that every week, but I guess we're going to mention XOYO again because artwork now kicks off his month-long residency. And he's bringing Nicky Ciano, who's a New York City legend. Nicky Ciano is actually one of the first DJs, or the first DJ to ever mix records together, blending records together. If you didn't know that, some knowledge for you. You know, we try to do on Rotation. That's how we do it. Nicky Ciano is bringing his gospel choir. That's going to be a very unique show. On Sunday, Love for Latimer, a charity event for the Grenfell Fire. And that's got David Rodigan, Benji B, Norman J, and over 30 artists. A lot of the proceeds are going to charities for the victims of the fire, which is very sad.
And our special Around the World Weekend Report location.
Around the World with On Rotation.
Just like that. It's Rome. We're going to Rome. We're going to Italy.
Nice.
Very fun. Great food. It starts off on Thursday with Sven Voth. Apologies in advance for, you know, butchering the names, but it's at the Palazzo dei Congressi.
Palazzo dei Congressi.
Yeah, exactly. And then on Friday, Chris Liebing is playing at the Ex Dogana for the Anarchy in the Club party, which also will be a super solid night of serious techno. He's playing with Marco Lino. On Saturday, you can catch Ryan Elliott at Andrea Doria. Ryan is playing alongside Zero and Joshua. It'll be be a fun little show.
Yeah, that'll be
and
cool.
Then Enzo Traini is playing somewhere in the city of Rome. So there's a really good show on Sunday. It's an El Ro takeover in Rome with Paco Osuna, Paul Rich, Monica Cruz. Wow, it's really good.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
That's going to be really fun. And it's at the Ippodromo delle Capanelli. Totally pronounced incorrectly.
That was good.
But
that was good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It sounds like it's a stacked weekend in Rome either way. This has been On Rotation. I'm Harrison here in Brooklyn.
And I'm Valerie in LA.
And check us next week with... Eats everything. He's a really colorful character, so you definitely gonna want to check that out.
Just because I play records for the people, why should I stop being in the crowd with them?
Thanks for listening to Mix Mag On Rotation. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We'll be back soon with more buzz from the world of dance music. Stay locked. This podcast was produced by Full English Post.
Nobody knows what the fuck is going on in Scunthorpe.